And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith and Richard Perno. For personal advice, visit envisionfinancial.com.au.
Luke Smith from Envision Financial, and you can give us a call on 6255 1206 and if you've got a problem at all. We're heading toward the end of the financial year too, aren't we?
Yeah. Mate, it's racing up in a great place.
Can I just have a look here? No, nothing. No cameras under here. No social media here.
Turn the Facebook off.
Don't say anything you can't. Oh, we're pretty right. But it's like that now, isn't it?
Mate, it's, yes. If you're running for Parliament, turn your phone off, turn your Facebook off, and actually use your brain before your lips move.
Really?
I think that's what I learned this morning.
Brain in gear before mouth open.
I heard that, yeah.
Dear, oh
dear. Try and be intelligent.
Yeah, okay. We're going to talk about this thing called key person insurance.
Yeah, look, exactly.
What's key person insurance?
Well, I think we've had a bit of an insurance theme of late, and we've tried to keep it in a block because I've tried to address some of the things I'm seeing more and more on a regular basis. And key person insurance is out there for the self-employed market. And as the name says, key people in a business.
Yeah.
So the important thing to think about here is, okay, I run a business, I might have two or three key staff members that generate a certain amount of income.
Yep.
Now, that's very important to my business because it ensures longevity, it ensures cash flow, the valuation, all those sorts of things. So there's two sides to key person insurance. There's the capital side.
Money.
That is, you and I own shares in a business.
Right.
And if anything happened to either of us, we'd like our loved ones to receive the value of the business that we've worked in. And for a lot of self-employed people out there, they'll understand that that is the same as a child. It is their baby, it is their everything, and people spend a vast amount of time, blood, sweat and tears, growing something and keeping it going. So protecting the capital value of that is really important, but also looking at the revenue side of that as well. And we'll break
that down
a little bit.
What's the difference between capital and revenue?
So capital is the value of the asset.
Right.
Revenue is the income generated. And I'll break that down in a little bit later in the show, but they're the two ways that you talk about key people. And if you think about it as a business owner, I might have 10 staff. Okay, so for me, Barb, key person.
Hmm.
If I don't have someone there knocking out the paperwork, answering the phones, taking care of things, pointing me in the right direction, keeping me in line and making good coffee, I've got a problem.
Yeah, that's true.
So any business has key people that are the drivers, the owners, the equity stakeholders. They're the people that want to be able to say, in the event that something happened to me, how would I create a way to pass the value of the entity that I own or the business that I control to my loved ones?
Does it just go to the bank balance, or what about the goods and chattels in the business?
Well, it comes down to valuing the capital price or the capital worth of what you have.
Yeah.
So if you and I are in business and we run a fairly successful organisation, if we were to sell that business, every industry has a different way of working out what something is worth. And depending on the industry, we might turn around and say, okay, if we were to sell our business today and retire, we'd want $5 million. $2.5 million for me, $2.5 million for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I got hit by a bus, I'd like my family to get the equitable value of the business that I've spent a ton of time away from them working in. So key man cover is a way of creating an estate and preventing the business from having to incur significant liabilities such as borrowing money to pay people out, then incurring the interest and the costs of paying that loan back, because a lot of businesses don't have in the bank the value of the shareholding of the directors.
Yeah, that's right. So this we link the key person two words
Correct.
To insurance now.
Correct. So key person insurance is a way of creating an estate to pay the equitable value of your shares in the business. That's the capital purpose. From a revenue perspective, if we've got a business that turns over $2 million and I generate $1 million of that revenue, you'd want that coming in if I had a heart attack.
Yeah.
You'd want that coming in if I got hit by a bus. You'd want that coming in if I launched my bike into a tree.
That wouldn't happen.
No, that'd never happen. So again, it's about come back to your why.
Yeah.
What's the big risk for the self-employed people? It is funding the value of their business to their estate.
Now, let's talk about that, Luke Smith, and you can contact him from Envision now on 6255 1206. What about that contractor who runs his own plumbing business?
Well, exactly. A contractor that runs his own plumbing business want to be able to say, okay, if I've got two or three guys that are working for me and they contribute a lot of revenue from what we generate.
Without one of those, I'm going to be short.
Exactly right. Yeah. So it's protecting the revenue of the business. If you can't send one of your four lads out to generate $200,000 or $300,000 a year, that could be lost. that $250,000 may be used for servicing debts, paying dividends, covering equipment leases, and just general, you know, profit and upkeep of your business. He's very important to you.
You want to protect it.
Exactly. So a revenue contract like that is a way of saying, okay, what do I forego if he's not working for me because of something that maybe neither of you can control?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you've got the ability to fund your business.
What happens
going
if he gets crook?
Well, it depends on the level of crook.
Yeah.
You know, if he has a heart attack or a stroke, he's probably not coming back for extended period of time. And again, a trauma contract like that could provide a funding mechanism to recover what's lost.
Yeah.
To also cover the fees or charges incurred in replacing him. Could cover paying wages to plug a hole. You could have a mate come in and say,
train someone up.
Exactly.
To
so time is money in the self-employed
business.
But we
tend to not do that, don't we, until it happens.
And this is why I'm talking about it this week, because people who are self-employed or employees know about income protection.
Yeah.
You know, Angela, if you're listening, I still need your paperwork back from last week, so I don't think you're going to get out of this scot-free. self-employed people miss this one. Yeah. I think this is...
Because they're too busy on the job.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And depending on your occupation, you generally get to a size where you think, okay, well, everything keeps rolling in. But if you took a key plug out of the sink, the water runs down pretty quickly. Mm. So all we're trying to do is have some ways of preventing the business from having unnecessary costs, losing revenue, or having to borrow money to pay out a director or a shareholder of a business. Because, as I say, most businesses run pretty lean operations and people like to use surplus profit for growth, not keeping it as a surplus to pay out something in the case of a total permanent disablement or a death.
Yeah. But it's the old saying, isn't it, Luke Smith, you know, hope for the best and plan for the worst.
Yeah, look, I've never had anybody tell me that, you know, something's happened and they don't want the money that we've had paid out to them.
Yeah.
I've never had anybody hand me back money for cancer. I've never had anybody hand me back money for a heart attack. And look, these are the sorts of things that, you know, as a self-employed person myself, your activities every day, that they are your business. The service that you provide and the relationship that you have, that is your everything. It is one of your children, you know. And any self-employed person out there listening could attest to that. You know, it's late nights, it's early mornings, it's phone call work job, it's everything that you do.
Mm.
So make sure that you actually have control over the value of that, because to have to sell something off in a fire sale environment and devalue the years and effort and blood and sweat and tears you've put into something that you've built up, that nobody's spouse or partner wants that. So this is just a very cost-effective way of protecting the value of your business and protecting the revenue that is generated by key people.
Does that mean you go into your books and say, this is what this particular employee earns me?
Potentially,
As cold and hard as that.
Yeah, look, I think some of the key things that people can consider are, obviously, do I need capital protection or income protection?
Yeah.
Revenue or capital? What is the value of the business? And that's something that needs to be reviewed. So this isn't something that you put in place and leave, because if you've got a good business and it's growing in value, you need to make sure that its value is represented.
Yeah,
so you can keep that value current,
right,
just like you would with a personal income protection policy, a life contract, a trauma contract. What do I need? What's my why? How do I protect it? How do I structure it? So this is no different. It's just a way of thinking for the self-employed person. How do I protect the value of my baby? Yeah. And how do I protect the revenue that my key staff are bringing into my organisation?
And shouldn't you change it, Luke Smith? Because if you lose an employee or you gain an employee, you should then reevaluate where you stand.
Look, it's always one of those things. Review, 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 review.
Yeah.
As I've said on many of these shows, when we talk about cover, it's not just set and forget. It's a living, breathing thing. You should be checking it any time there's a key or material change in your business to make sure that you stay current, you stay relevant. Because the big things self-employed people need to think about are, what's at risk? What have I guaranteed?
Mm.
What is it worth? What is he or she worth to me? And also, who's going to own the contract? And more importantly, do I have it owned in the right structure?
Yeah. Should you have a succession plan?
Well, this effectively is.
Yeah.
In a way, a succession plan is a means of passing on the value of your business to somebody else and bringing them in. Now, this is a very good way of securing the value of your business that ultimately becomes the thing that you sell or pass on to the open market through a sale or through other key individuals where they may buy into the business and own more and more of that entity over time.
Doing that sort of thing, Luke, is kind of like a self-check, isn't it, to see what your business is worth and what would you lose if a leg was cut off, so to speak.
Oh, look, exactly. Some of the key things people need to remember as well is, that these things are flexible.
Mm.
They're living, they're breathing. There is specific documentation that goes around these sorts of contracts, and they're generally referred to as buy-sell agreements, and they put an equitable charge over the proceeds. And what I mean by that is this. If you and I are in business and I die and I have a $2 million policy that is the value of my share in our business, that goes to my wife. Now, you may not want to be in business with my wife. She may not know anything about broadcasting, bricklaying, accounting, legal, or whatever field we may be in. So a buy-sell agreement says that in the event of a claim, my estate gets paid $2 million. That then triggers the shares that I own that are passed to my estate when I die, coming back to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you can control who either invests in the business, who owns the business, or who you could then sell those shares to, but you're not in business with my wife.
Yeah.
You may want to be in business with my wife, I don't know. But most self-employed people say to me, I generally don't want to be in business with my business partner's wife.
That's it.
So it's controlling the value of your business. It's controlling the estate planning for you personally and maximising the benefit and the control that you have so that what you've owned and what you've built and what you've put your blood, sweat and tears into comes to your loved one.
That's it. To Key Person Insurance, Luke Smith, our financial planner from Envision Financial. You can contact him now, 6255 1206. Don, are you there, Don?
Yeah.
Oh, g'day, mate. You had a question for Luke.
Yes. I just want to ask about some shares.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Don. He's listening.
Oh, right. Look, I've got some shares. I've got 1,000 shares in early Telstra.
Right.
The first lot that come out. And I've got about 1,400 shares in AGL, I think it is, or the one that the NRMA gave all their members years ago.
Yep.
And I just want to get rid of them.
Well, sell them.
There you go.
Yeah, but how do I see?
Well, listen, Don, I think that there's a couple of ways. You just need to get a broking account and sell those because you'd have the holding statements. Give my office a ring on Monday. We'll put you in touch with someone that can do that.
There you go.
I'll wrap it up for you.
There you go.
No problems.
Ring Envision 6260-4749 and the problem will be solved. 6260-4749. Key Person Insurance.
Yep.
All right. What's the difference between capital cover and revenue cover with this?
Beautiful. So there are two whys here when it comes to the value of what we're trying to do.
Sure.
As we touched on earlier, capital is the total value of what we're trying to pass on. So it is the value of the business that we want to insure on a shareholder basis. So as I said earlier, if we've got a business worth $2
million,
million is mine, million is yours, we may have a capital policy for $1 million of life and TPD. So that if I get hit by a bus, $1 million gets passed to my estate, and then you get the control of those shares, and that's paid for by our business entity.
Okay.
Okay, now, capital cover is generally not tax deductible, okay, because it is a lump sum payment. So you look at capital for, when we're thinking about that, what do we include? The value of our shareholding, potentially any existing liability or a debt we need to extinguish.
Yep.
And the big one that often gets missed is there any capital gains realised on the sale of our shares? So if you're going to have a significant capital gain, people need to work with their accountant to say, well, maybe I don't need $1 million. Maybe I need 1.5. Because the last thing you want to do is pass $1 million to your estate and then incur a $300,000-$500,000 tax bill. So this is where good accountants work in with their clients, especially the self-employed ones, to say, okay, if you went down, Richard, what do you want passed to the family? And they're the sorts of things that you'd obviously think about. Now, from a revenue perspective, we cover the contribution someone would put to our business. So if I generate $1 million of revenue to our entity, you might have a certain portion of that covered so that we know that in the event that I'm not there, you have that coming into the business to keep things business as usual. You could also cover replacement costs, recruitment costs, time for training. Because if you're going to get somebody in to do my job, it might take 6 months to get them up to speed. So a revenue contract is a good way to future-proof your cash flow so that if something did happen, we're not having a big lull in our turnover because it takes 6 months to bring someone up to speed or to find them.
What happens if I walk? I don't want to be with you anymore.
Well, that's okay because contracts like that are owned by the business.
Right.
So this is a difference between capital and revenue. Generally, Capital Cover is owned personally, and the buy-sell agreement wraps around that to control where the money goes. Revenue contracts are generally owned by the entity that generates the revenue, and it's therefore payable to that business and taxable, just like the wages or the revenue that I generate is taxed.
Yeah.
So we're future-proofing our cash flow. So it's owned by the entity that earns it. The big one here is revenue contracts are generally tax deductible.
It's a big one to think, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So just like income protection for individuals, revenue contracts for businesses, I say, okay, if I went down, we can replace $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 of the fees that I generate into my business, be it accountant, be it lawyer, be it builder, be it whatever. And the premium that we pay for that out of the business is generally tax deductible. So we're getting a tax benefit for that. And that provides a lot of peace of mind, not only from a tax standpoint, but also from a cash flow standpoint for the entity.
Luke Smith, does it all come back to income protection?
Well,
in a way.
In a way, you could think about revenue contract as a form of business income protection. It's different to individuals because individual feeds my family, but revenue protects the business. Mm. So you could think about revenue cover like income protection for your business or for your key staff, because that's exactly what it's doing.
Yeah.
It's saying that in the event of certain conditions, I know that my business will be paid X amount of money. The business owns the policy. The business claims the tax deduction. So the revenue continues into that business entity.
How much does key person insurance cost?
Well, again,
what's it based on?
Well, it's based on the individual.
Right.
It depends on the life insured. So how old is the individual? Are they in good health? How much are we covering? And in some instances, depending on the cover that we take out, what do you do?
Mm.
Because the premium for a radio host may be different to a premium for a bricklayer. Because it's some parts of like income protection and total permanent disablement, which we've talked about recently, they're occupationally based. Life cover and trauma cover, they're not occupationally based. So a bricklayer, a plumber, a Red Bull mountain bike rider, same premium because it's age, sex, level of cover. So we need to understand why, we need to understand what, then we need to understand where. And that's the order that we put it in so that you can protect your loved one.
Yeah.
And I'd wrap my business up as a loved one because it's something you spend more time at than most others.
I mean, yeah,
well, very much
it's
so.
Got very many much working, so. Moving parts
very
in
much
all
so.
Of this.
And you might have people come and go.
Yeah.
And you're not committed to something. You can always cancel policies. You can also replace things with other key staff. So it's a living, breathing thing, just like any other policy that you have we've talked about in the last few weeks. Look under the hood.
Yeah.
Check it. Understand it. Make sure you're not paying overs. And look, as we said last week, if you've got policies, you want them checked, you want them reviewed, bring them in, sit down. As we said to Angelo last week, if we can find you a sharper premium, no fees, no charges, but we can try and educate you on what you need, because a lot of these things people have and they haven't looked at for a long time.
So if you run a business and you haven't considered person, key person insurance, do it. You can contact Envision Financial. They're at the end of Townsend Street in Phillip. They're upstairs at 44 to 52, Suite 2. And you get a cup of coffee, Envision Financial, on 6260-4749. If you miss our discussions, it's available everywhere.
Yeah, look at this. Look, we've got Envision Financial Canberra on YouTube. We've had a lot of interest from that of late, which is really positive. We've had a lot of positive feedback during the week that, you know, we put the little key takeouts in the movie, so you can go to YouTube and watch the video and see the two of us.
I'm not sure if that's a
good or bad thing.
Do it during the daytime hours. Don't do it at night.
We have the key takeouts, obviously, in that video. You can go to iTunes and search The Strategy Stacker, Luke Talks Money. And obviously, you can go to www.envisionfinancial.com.au. Now, the other thing I wanted to throw out there, because it's something that we need to try and address, is we're actually looking for somebody.
Are you?
We are. So
recruiting?
We are. We're looking for somebody to come and help Barb.
So you're going to be looking at key person insurance,
well,
then?
Potentially. We'll see how key they are. But look, if there's people out there, we're looking for somebody to do some administration work. You don't have to understand financial services. You can learn how to do things. And it's that perfect mum job.
Yeah.
9:30 to 2:30, drop the kids off, pop in, do some work, pop out, pick them up from school. And if you don't have kids, you can come as well.
There you go.
But it's that window that a lot of mums returning to the workforce are looking for. So if you're interested in doing something like that and getting back into the workforce, we'd love to have a chat to you so they can send through some CVs to Luke at envisionfinancial.com.au and see if we can't add someone else to give Barb a break from the coffee machine.
6260-4749-44-52 Townsend Street in Phillip. Envision Financial, you can see Barb and Luke, and if you want to inquire about this position now vacant, here's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Cool. Say no more.
There you go. Enjoy your weekend.
See you next week, mate. Take care.